now we'd be able to focus better, because, you know, it'd be a distraction to me and also to you with that buzzing noise right there. The Bible, we call the Bible the Word of God. And we know that the Lord uses the Bible, He uses the Scriptures to teach us, to show us how to live, and to transform our lives. In order for you and I to experience transformation, we have to really be exposed. We have to have this exposure to the Word of God. John 17:17, Jesus said it this way during His prayer, right before He was betrayed by Judas, and He went into the garden. He prayed to the Father. He says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And what is Jesus saying there? He says, "Set him apart." Sanctification is the word for holy. Make him holy by your truth. Your word is truth. In other words, you and I can be sanctified, set apart for God through His word. And Paul, writing to a young preacher named Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, Paul said to him, "All Scripture." That includes Old Testament, New Testament. All Scripture is God-breathed. In other words, it's breathed out by God. The King James Version says it is inspired by God. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God will equip us through His Word. Now, for Christians, for you and I to experience growth and transformation in our lives, there have to be this hunger. You and I must be hungry for the Word of God, because otherwise, it's almost like the baby would crave milk. So Peter said we had to crave the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God, like the pure Word of God, in order for you and I to grow spiritually and to experience transformation. Now, there is a great book out there entitled Growing Your Faith by a man named Jerry Bridges. He says, if we are going to grow in Christ, if we're going to grow in Christ's likeness through the exposure of God's Word, one of the things we must do is develop Bible-based convictions. Now, a conviction is a determinative belief, something you believe so strong that it affects the way you live. That's what a conviction is. And you know, when you think about the definition, I think one of the things wrong in Christianity in America is that a lot of Christians lack conviction. We might claim to believe a lot of things, but we're not truly convicted. When you're convicted, you change everything about your life. For instance, if you know that in order for you to develop a healthy body, you need to eat healthy and other things, conviction would say that you do everything. You even pay more money to buy healthy food because you're convicted that you need to do those things. If you're not convicted, you will eat junk food all day long. You don't care. But the conviction will affect everything that you do in life. If I'm convicted that I need to work out and do certain things to keep myself healthy, you'll be watching me doing it. But if I'm not convicting it, you know, I just do whatever. So the conviction is something that you believe so strong in you that it will affect the way you live. It will make changes in you because you are convicted. And when you look at Christianity in America, in our society today, we have a problem. And it's like we do not truly have convictions. We might claim to believe something, but where's the conviction? Whatever you're claiming to believe, do you believe that so wholeheartedly that it will affect the way you live? Like even it affects your values, whatever you do, like because you are convicted about such things. We cannot develop Bible-based convictions if we're not, you know, in the Word of God, in the Bible. If we do not know the Bible, we might not be able to develop convictions because we might not even know what the Bible says. And if I don't know what it says, how will I believe or have convictions? As followers of Jesus, our beliefs must come from the Bible. That must be our foundation for sanctification, for everything else that we do and say, that really our Bible-based convictions and beliefs will reflect in everything that we do. Our beliefs and values, you know, come from families or societies or cultures or philosophy or religion or the Bible. So we are always exposed to a certain set of beliefs. Everybody believes something. Either you believe it because your ancestor taught you that, and so you might not question it. You just believe it because that's what we all do. Or it might be like certain religions, no, you gotta believe this, or society say, no, you gotta believe this thing because this is the new age, or philosophy will tell you, no, you gotta believe. And so wherever you are born, you're born into this world with a certain set of teachings and beliefs, and those beliefs are gonna determine who you are, and you know, they're gonna determine your values in society. So our beliefs for Christians, we have to go back to always the foundation. This is what somebody said, the Bible means basic instruction before leaving earth. So I always call it the GPS for life. You know, we are lost in this world. We don't know what to do, where to go. Listen to the GPS. God already said, I don't want you to be lost. Let me guide you. Remember in Psalm 119, I believe, 119 verse 105, your word is a lamp into my feet. You know, in those days, no electricity. People would walk like this with a lamp. It's like, and it will guide them. So this is what's going to guide us. But again, how do we develop a biblical worldview, a biblical perspective, or convictions, Bible-based convictions, when we do not know what this says? So we got to be exposed to the Word of God. So in Romans 12, 1 through 2, Paul is writing to a church, and he began by urging them to offer their bodies as living sacrifice. You got your Bibles with you. I'm going to read two verses in Romans 12. Verses 1 and 2. I'm reading the NIV 1984. You might have the ESV or... So the NIV says, therefore, Romans 12, verse 1, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I beseech you, brothers, I urge you, brothers, I exhort you, brothers, that's what the Apostle Paul, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice, pleasing and holy to him. Living sacrifice. You never heard of such thing in the Bible. Sacrifices usually were dead. They were. That's what the word means. They were sacrificed. And so Paul now says, you offer your bodies as living sacrifices. You know, a sacrifice is anything consecrated or offered to God. So as believers, what is Paul saying to us here? He said, you and I are to consecrate ourselves, I mean our whole body, our lives, to the Lord. To offer ourselves as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is calling believers to sacrifice themselves to God. I mean, you know, he sacrificed his own life. How often are we willing to sacrifice even time, you know, our money, whatever it is, everything, our body, our efforts, you know, the strength that we have, to sacrifice that for God. So Paul says, offer your body. I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy, set apart already for God, and pleasing to him. And then he goes on to say, do no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Paul is urging Christians not to conform to the world system, to the pattern that this world has, but be transformed. So when he's talking about conforming to the world ideologies and the world pattern, like the standards of the world, and we know that God has already given us a standard in his word. Now, I want to spend some time with that word conform, because the NIV says do not conform. What is that? What is he saying? You see, the word conform has the idea of to be fashioned or to be molded. That's what really it means. Like, do not let the world mold you or fashion you according to the world system. Do not be molded or fashioned by the ways of this world. I love the Message. This is a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message by Eugene Peterson. And he says it this way. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. So the world is ready, like, to get you. Like, I'm going to squeeze you. I'm going to mold you the way I want. So the world wants to do that for you and I. So Paul says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed. The word transform is also an interesting word here, because he talks about, when you look it up in the original, it's a word metamorphosis, from which we get the word metamorphosis. You know, it's what the butterfly goes through. So do not be fashioned by the ways of this world, but be changed, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And we need to spend some time talking about the mind, because that is very complex. Our mind, not the brain that we have, no, the minds that we possess. Transformation begins by changing the way you think. Now, you don't have to be a Christian to believe that. Most people will tell you that, you know, if you just adopt a different perspective, you change the way you think, a lot of things will change in your life. Transformation happens by changing the way you think. And that's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, by the renewal of your mind. You know, sometimes as Christians, we wonder why we do not experience transformation. Or, you know, and every year we go through the New Year resolution. And by the second week in January, everybody just got, you wonder, like, what happened? Why is it that I cannot keep on with, you know, with what I want to do? And it's like, it's hard, it's sacrificial to do certain things. And so we wonder why we do not experience transformation or change in some of the things we want to change. Everything else lies in our minds. That's what somebody said, how bad do you really want it? I mean, are you really willing to go, you know, 100 miles for that? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself for that? So how bad do you truly want that? So we wonder why it takes so long to experience transformation in our lives. The answer to such transformation may be in the way we think. I know people that they get sick because they already believe they're sick. You know, they might not have anything wrong, and the doctor's like, well, I don't know what's wrong with you. But obviously there's something wrong, but they already believe. I used to have a grandmother who was like that. You ask her, how are you doing? She was always okay. I mean, you know, it was never, no, I'm doing, you know. And my dad finally said, well, you're getting older. You know what I mean? But she always, like, her sickness was more in their mind than the body. And still, she outlived everybody else. But she, for 20 years, I've been hearing, I'm just so-so. Everything was there, you know. So transformation, for transformation to begin to occur, to happen in you, you have to change certain things, how you view things, how you perceive, the perspective. That's called the worldview, the outlook of life. Now, somebody defines the worldview is the platform from which you stand to look at the world and make sense of it. You and I, everybody has a worldview. You might not know what it is. Some of us might be biblical based. Some of the ones might be just philosophical, whatever. But we all have a perspective. We all have, and how do we know that? By your opinion. Based on what your opinion, people, oh, I know where you're coming from now. That's in the mind. So in order for us to experience transformation, one of the things we have to look at is our mind. We have to change the way we think. And that's what Paul says. Do not be conformed. Do not let the world squeeze you and fashion you and mold you into its own, but be transformed, be changed by the changing the way you think, by renewal of your mind. Then, he said, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. You see, we're talking about transformation, but it's truly hard knowing that we have a sin problem in our society. We have a sin problem in our lives. And so, the sin is going to affect even our minds. That's what, you know, some of us, we're always getting trouble with our minds. If we just let it, you know, if you always speak what you think, we all get in trouble, don't we? Because it's like sometimes we have to, like, control it, you know, and it's hard. I mean, you know, so the mind is the most complex thing that we have. And you see, the same problem we have, so many people have written books about the battle that you and I face with sin. You know where the battle begins? In the mind. You know, even Joyce Meyer had a book, The Battle of the Mind. You know, what women think. There was a movie made, how women think, how men, because you and I can just, you know what I mean? It's like everybody is wired up differently, and we have this thing, and now because of a sin problem, it's going to affect the way we think. That's why sometimes we might not always think godly thoughts. We might just think nasty thoughts. And the beauty is that sometimes you can hold them down, but sometimes it might come out, and now we offend people here. You know, it's a disaster, and that's all because of the sin problem we have. So it's going to affect our mind. Our minds will not always be, you know, seeking God, pure and pleasing to the Lord. So if we can embrace a different perspective, a renewing of the in the way that we think, then we'll be able to experience transformation. Like I said, the mind is the most complex thing we have. Scientists can x-ray our brain. No one can x-ray your mind. Now, psyche might try, like, try to decipher and determine what you're thinking. Only you and God knows really what's going on in your mind. You know, it's complex. Like I said, I mean, even the most sophisticated computer, it's like a little toy compared to our brain. Just the brain, imagine our mind. It's so complex. So complex. And it's, you know, like I said, they can x-ray the brain, they can just, but nobody can x-ray your mind. Nobody knows what you're thinking right now. Only you and God who created it. Now, there was a French philosopher named René Descartes, and he said, "I think, therefore I am." Maybe you heard that. What he meant by, it's like, you are who you are because what you think. And you know that's so true. When somebody is in the hospital in a vegetable state, you know that that person cannot even think. It's almost like their mind's gone. You know, and the body, without the body, you know, the mind needs the body, and you know, to be connected right there. So you are not a person anymore. They say, oh, they're just like a vegetable right now. You doctors use that terminology because the mind is out. So René Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am." So I am who I am because I can think. That's what he's saying. Who we are is linked to how we think. The mind is also an intensive private part that you have. You have it's private. It's you. Only you know what you're thinking. And only you know and control what you're going to let out. So it's private. Only you and God knows really what's going on in your mind. The mind is also synonymous of your thoughts. Now, it's interesting. You see how complex it is, because the mind, you can make up your mind. You can change your mind. You can be out of your mind. And sometimes you can be double-minded. And you know, it's almost like, I mean, mind is so complex. See, we allow God to work in our minds, but sometimes we allow the enemy to work in our minds. And that's the battleground. And I always view this thing like Tom and Jerry cartoon. There's the good angel and the bad angel. And you're in between. And you're just like, okay, who do I listen to? Some days I'm listening to this guy. Other days, and it's like complex, complex. We change our minds. We renew our minds. We become double-minded. And sometimes we might be considered out of mind, crazy. So the sin problem we have, everything takes place in our minds. And so you got to pause and think for a moment. Why do you think the first commandment, or the greatest commandment, to love God with all your, remember, what is the greatest commandment? To love God with all your body, soul, and mind, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. What does it mean to love God with your mind? It means, you know, the mind is determines how you act. And the things that you do. So you gotta love God with the things that you think and with your thoughts and the things that you do. Like people, that all those things, our actions, our behavior will reflect God. That's not easy to do. You know, even for us Christians, unless that we can renew and change our perspective. And I'm gonna tell you later on how we can even begin to do that. Now, there was another man, Gandhi, said, "Your beliefs become your thoughts become your words become your action, and your action become your habits, and your habits become your values." So you see, your thoughts, your beliefs, this again, like I said, the beliefs is not a term of the conviction. You believe something, and now it's going to be in your mind. You think about it, you got thoughts about that, and the thoughts are going to determine everything else, even to the point of what you value in life. Your habits that you develop, your action, but everything starts, even for that man who's not a Christian, in the thought. It's a thought process, a pattern. So whatever we do is governed by what we think, by our reasoning. The good things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything starts in our mind. You know, and you know, people, even you can see, like, even when somebody is in a hurry in the traffic, it's a thought process. For whatever reason, that person might think he or she is the only one in a hurry. Everybody needs to get out of the way. But it's determined, it's governed by something that that person is thinking. Everything we do, it's not like, oh, I didn't see that one. No. Like, you were motivated by a thought. that was planted in them. You see, in the Garden of Eden, Satan planted a thought in Eve's mind. You remember what that thought was? Satan came and said, "Did God really say that you're not supposed to eat of that tree?" So she was like, no, I mean, God didn't say that. He said, no, he's lying to you. And now she had two options. So God told me not to eat of the tree, but now we have somebody else telling me that it's okay. You see the cartoon? Okay, who's right here? So he planted that seed of doubt in Eve's, and then, you know, later on, she partook of the tree, of the fruit, and ate it and gave it to Adam, and sin happened. So whatever we do is governed by what's in our head. So somebody came and suggested something to you, and that's what Satan does. You know, when people say, well, the devil made me do it, that's a lie. The devil never makes you do anything. He might suggest you to do something. He might say, hey, you know, cast yourself down, he told Jesus. Worship me, and I give you all this world. Throw yourself, you know, suggestions. And then it's going to be up to us to reason it out, to think. It's like, okay. And then we be acting, because everything is determined by what we think. So Satan also planted us an idea in the Apostle Peter. And the idea wasn't bad. You know, Jesus just got done telling you, you know, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And the people, the elders are going to treat me this way. And they're going to kill me. But on the third day, I'll be back. And Peter said, never. God forbid, Lord, that should never happen to you. And then Peter took Jesus aside to rebuke Jesus. I mean, I don't know how many people in the Bible are going to rebuke Jesus. Peter took him aside. Okay, let's talk to you, Jesus, man. You're not thinking clearly. That's what Peter was thinking. Because they did not want Jesus to die. And he just told them that he was going to go to Jerusalem and die. And Peter said, never. And then, you know, remember what Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, around verse 21 and 23. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because you don't have in your mind the things of God, but the things of men. In other words, Jesus is saying, you're not thinking clearly. You're not thinking God's agenda. You're thinking your own agenda. So that's what motivated Peter to go and rebuke Jesus. Because the thought that he had in his mind. And Satan was the one who planted it. That's why Jesus said, hey, I know you. Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking clearly. You want me to do what you want, but I want to do what God wants. You see, the foundation of all transformation, our character, our conduct, and behavior is laid deep in a changed and transformed mind. And then he says, then you will be able to test and approve the will of God. I mean, how often we struggle with, like, I don't know what God's will is for me right now. You know, and a lot of people, like, for my own life, you know, what college should I go? And a lot of us struggle determining what God's will is. According to Paul here, he says that it's after you have renewed your mind, then, he said, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, until you change the way you think, you might not even see God's will for you right now. You see, we are to be molded. We are not to be molded or conformed by the ways of this world, because God has already given us a perspective, a different perspective, a different mindset in Christ. Romans 8:29 says, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, there's the word, to be fashioned, to be molded, to be patterned to the image of his Son. Isn't that interesting? God loved us so much that he already gave us a pattern by which you and I need to be molded and fashioned, and that pattern is Jesus. I always picture, it's almost like the cookie cutter. You get the dough in there, and now it's like the cookie cutter is Jesus, and you and I got to fit into there. And we have areas that we got kind of like need to go, all of us. And it's like, God says, like, all those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed, to be fashioned, to be molded into the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. Jesus is the mold, the frame, that you and I, all of us Christians, need to fit in. We got to be squeezed into Christ, not squeezed into the world system. You see, like Angela was talking about, the Bible is so clear when it talks about that you and I, like, belong to a different world. Like, our citizenship is not even American. It's not even from here. We are literally passing through. Because the writers of the New Testament said that our citizenship is in heaven. And we look forward to that city. One day when, you know, it's like, and how? When do you become citizens of heaven? The moment you say yes to Jesus and you were baptized into his name, now the Bible says you are a new creation. And so as a new creation, then he's also giving us different pattern so that we think differently than the world. Remember, the Bible says you are in the world, but you are not of it. It's like, huh? Because we already have a different mindset, a different perspective. And we, because God wants to mold each and every one of us into the image of Jesus. That's what the Bible calls sanctification. Sanctification is just, I can translate it for you as to be, that you and I become more like Jesus, that we love like Jesus, that we serve people like Jesus, that Jesus is almost like he's living out through us. So, like everything about us, like people, instead of people seeing us, you know, that they see Jesus, like how we love, how we treat one another. But you see, that's not easy to do. And that's what God is doing right now as we speak in our lives, changing us, molding us more to be like Jesus. Because those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, to be patterned to the image of Jesus. He is the mold, the frame. This is where we find God's perspective. Now, if your beliefs and convictions are not Bible-based, it will be easy for you to fall into the world's ideologies and pattern, you know, because either you're going to go with Bible-based convictions or the world's going to have a whole bunch for you. And, you know, and there's even new religions being created, and people want to create their own because it's almost like people want it to be palatable to them. People want it to, I want you to satisfy what I want. So, because it's about me. And in our society, we have this thing that is like, it's about me, not you. And Jesus, no, it's not about ourselves. Remember, we die to self. Now, Jesus has to be the one living through us, not me. Paul says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live, I'm going to live dedicated to the Son of Man, who loved me and gave his life for me. So I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Wow. So he had that Christ, a Bible-based conviction. You see, our thinking must reflect Christ. That's what the whole renewing of your mind, so that we experience transformation. Whatever we think, you know, has to reflect, by, you know, something that we read in the Bible. And, you know, and there's a lot of things in the Bible that we might not like. We might not agree all the time. Like, love your enemies. You know, people. I mean, we have tough time loving our brothers and sisters. Imagine this one, loving our enemies. Jesus, would you change that for me, please? No, it's not going to change. Thank you very much. It's going to stay there. But we can adapt to that. And we can, by changing our minds, you start seeing yourself, that you start developing Christ-like attitude. You know, I mean, many of us, I can give you the chance to tell your testimony. And you say, like, wow, I used to get angry when people would tell me that. And now, like, now it's okay. Well, I used to do this. And now it's like there's some changes in you. Why? Because, you know, there's transformation happening in you. And the Lord continued to do that. And he has given us a manual. Everything we buy in our society has a manual. Your washing machine, your radio, your TV, everything. So you know how that thing operates. There's a manual that we have that God has given to us so that we also know what he expects of us. So that we read the instructions so that we don't get lost. So we know exactly what he's asking. So in order for us to be transformed, renewed, you see, the more that we let God's word dwell in our minds, the more transformation that we'll experience, the more our thinking will reflect Christ. That's always been my prayer, because you know how many times, just by thought, I just thought something that was negative or was lustful, and it's like, Lord, it's constantly, you and I are in the battle, it's always over here, like, get even. Oh, Lord, no, just love. You know what I mean? And you see example of that everywhere now. You know, and it's like you and I always battling. And I think that's what the Bible talks about. You got to put on the full armor of God, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the dark world. You know, because he wants to possess our mind. And the Lord said, no, I give you a pattern to think loving things, admirable things, but Satan doesn't want it. And so you and I really will be the one deciding who's going to win that war. The Lord already gave us a weapon. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, the Apostle Paul says, as you teach and admonish people. Let that dwell in you. Remember, the Psalm writer says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Psalm 119. I think verse 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? And then he answers, he says, by living according to your word. Then he says, In my heart, I have treasured your word that I may not sin against you. The more that we treasure that, the less sinful we'll become. It's almost like the more that we expose ourselves into the word of God, the more that we be more like Jesus, the more transformation will happen. You and I cannot be transformed apart from the exposure of the word of God. We will never be transformed neglecting his instructions, giving in the Bible. We will always be lost in a world without a GPS, without a compass. See, God is calling us not to conform to the world, but to be transformed, to be changed by changing the way we think, because he already has given us a pattern different from the world. The world has an ideology. He has given us his word, his instructions. And Angela talks about when one of the ways that you show God that you love him, he said, Jesus said it in John 14, he said, if you love me, he said, you will obey my command. In other words, let me translate it for you. If you love me, you will follow my instructions. You know what I mean? It's just like very simple. So loving God means that you will follow what he said. He already gave us a pattern, a frame by which you and I just got to fit in. And by doing that daily, you know, then we're going to experience transformation in our lives. But, you know, that's the thing. Paul says, do not conform. And it's going to be up to you and I. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. And they want to do it all the time. But be transformed by renewing your mind, by changing the way you think. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our reasoning and thinking must reflect the one that we call Master and King. That people see Jesus even through how we act. Our behavior will reflect Jesus. You know, Francis Chan, I always go back to a quote that he said. And I think it goes with what I'm talking about. He says, the problem with Christianity is that the world has looked at us. They have checked us out, and they have not liked what they've seen. Because sometimes they don't see Jesus, even in how we behave, how we love one another, how we do things. So this is our challenge for us, that Paul is asking the church 2,000 years ago in Rome, do not conform to the pattern of the world. The world for them was the Roman Empire. Do not conform to the world's ideology, but be transformed. Be changed by changing the way you think, and then you'll be able to approve. God already has given us what is it that we need to change. His thoughts, his way, his love, his mercy and grace. Our reasoning and thinking must reflect Jesus in this world. Would you pray with me this moment?